pretend I meant, because we do want to talk about love and Valentine's Day. It is tomorrow, and maybe you're making some last-minute reservations at a romantic restaurant. Maybe you're still figuring out what you want to do, who you want to spend it with. Here's a weird stat for you. The average Australian spends a bloody ridiculous $315 on Valentine's Day. So many Australians just buy into the materialism that a good thing to step back and ask is, have we lost our way when it comes to love? Well, next guest, Dr. Tim Dean, has joined me. He's from the Sydney School of Life. He's a philosopher. I'm going to chat a little bit about the fundamental nature of love. Tim, good morning.
Morning, Nick.
Now, obviously, our view of love in a contemporary kind of Western society, we have it very mired down in a very romantic concept of love. But there were many other types in sort of the history of philosophy, weren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of elevate the romance idea as being the only brand. We already use the word in lots of different contexts. You know, I love my job, I love my kids, I love my dog, I love this box set of the Game of Thrones. We know that we use the term in different ways, and the Greeks were very helpful in giving us different words for all of these different dimensions. So they would talk about like eros, which is the one we're probably the most familiar with. That's the kind of erotic, the sexual passion, the energy, the physical attraction that you get. But there are other types. There's philia, and we still use that word as well. So if you love books, for example, you're a bibliophile. And that's more kind of a deep exchange. You appreciate something in another thing, and you get something out of it, and you want to give something back. It's kind of more like a brotherly love or sisterly love, sometimes they might put it. And there are some other dimensions of love as well that we don't really think about as much today, but they might still be relevant. So there's things like storge, which is familial love.
Ah.
So like, you know, parents love their children in a kind of an unconditional way. So kids can even go off and do bad things and parents will still love them. And that's a part of that kind of familial connection of love, which is separate from the others. And another one that doesn't get talked about much is agape, which is the kind of a universal love. And so the Greeks saw this as being something that the people felt for the gods and the gods felt for the people. Now, you don't need to believe in the gods to still understand storge. It's in Buddhism, for example, it would be interpreted as metta, which is the idea of just like an acknowledgement of everyone living and suffering and feeling empathy for that. And so you just kind of have a universal magnanimity out there, you know. But you can understand that this is, there's a love aspect to that. There's a dimension there.
Oh, absolutely. Why do you think we ended up concentrating so much on romantic love as a society?
Yeah, it's a good question, because with all these dimensions, like, how do we get stuck? And I think to some degree, it's because of the media. You know,
yeah.
Let's blame the media.
We can
blame because
ourselves.
Of like romance novels and things like that, which really burst onto the scene in a big way in the late 18th, early 19th century. And this is kind of around the time when relationships shifted from being of convenience and of resources and of familial partnerships and community things to being more motivated by our emotions. And the romantic movement celebrated the passions, celebrated nature, celebrated the raw aspects of life. And so this idea of eros or romance became a very dominant conception. The one thing that most romance novels do, and films and music, is they don't talk about love. They actually talk about falling in love. They don't talk about the rest of the relationship. They don't talk, as Alain de Botton says, you don't hear much about laundry in romance novels and the day-to-day stuff that you end up doing with your loved ones, which is just as important a dimension of love. And if you only think about the beautiful myth of falling in love and the fire and the passion, how are you going to sustain a relationship when things actually get tough?
You're right. We don't have a lot of regard for the hard work of being in love, do we? We want it to be, oh, I saw her across a room and boom, it was on and I knew straight away. We don't think about the way you need to build a relationship.
Absolutely. Love is, and a relationship is like scaffolding. And maybe the foundations start with physical attraction, you know, seeing them across the room. But it doesn't end with that. We need to build up those layers of things like philia. And if you start a family, you build up those things like storge. And you work on communication. So another myth of romance is that you just can sit and communicate without words. You know, you know what each other are thinking. And we all know that when it comes to, why didn't you put the garbage out last night? Well, I thought you were going to do it, but I told you yesterday. No, you didn't. I'm not talking to you anymore. It's not ESP. It takes work.
Look, one of Alain de Botton's big thing, and of course he kicked off the School of Life, and mm-hmm. Sydney School of Life is following along with that. He talks a lot about how we can still, in a modern age, learn so much from philosophy. Do you think there's a lot of love lessons to be learned there as well?
Look, I think there is. I think there are a lot of lessons in many dimensions of life. One thing that philosophy does is it encourages us to reflect upon the ideas that we use every day. So we have values. We have our things that are important to us. We have our morals. We have our conceptions of things like love. And they seem really abstract, yet they do already influence our decisions. Every time we make a decision, every time we have a dilemma to solve, we're actually doing philosophy because we're applying those concepts. The question is, are we doing it well or are we doing it poorly? And so philosophy is a tool that you can use to examine the ideas and the values that you already employ in your life to make sure that you're employing them better.
So it's a step back critical thinking for your own engagement with the world around you.
Absolutely. Bertrand Russell puts it in a nice way. He says it's kind of like a lens through which you look at the world. But this lens doesn't actually make things sharper necessarily. It shows that things are fuzzy. It shows that things are a little more complicated than we want to believe. And a lot of our naive conceptions are black and white. You know, we want to think, oh, I understand what this is. I understand what work is. I understand what love is. I understand what a relationship is. And when you look at it through philosophy, you realize that maybe some of our certainty is misplaced. And that's not a bad thing, to be able to reflect on these things and take a little more caution in our decisions rather than leaping in with false certainty.
Now, School of Life is indeed running a series about love. You're giving a salon about it, I understand.
Yes, that's right. Wednesday the 22nd, I'm going to be doing a philosophy salon on love, where I'm going to be talking about the different dimensions, talking a bit about romance, talking about why us as biological creatures even feel something like love. That's going to be on Wednesday the 22nd. And there's another session as well called How to Make Love Last, which is going to be run at the Ethics Centre today, 6 p.m. And I think there's still a couple of tickets left. And there's a few tickets, I think, left for my philosophy salon next week as well.
Well, fantastic. I know you can jump onto schooloflife.com/Sydney, find mm-hmm. out where tickets are. We'll make sure there's a link to that on the 2SER.com website. Dr. Tim Dean, thank you very much for chatting to us this morning.
I've loved it.
Yes, indeed. Do jump online, find out what's happening with School of Life. Look, you're going to love School of Life. Trust me, we've had plenty of guests from here. I've been to some of the secular sermons myself. It is highly recommended.